Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, The Pilgrim's Progress. And I want to ask, what difficulties or challenges have you faced in your journey as a Christian? And what difficulties in keeping the faith of a Christian to complete this journey that we are all on?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, I thought we could take a look together at Pilgrim's Progress. Have you heard of that book? If you're here on Wednesday nights, we did this several years ago for quite some time by John Bunyan. He wrote this book. It's the second most published book in the history of the world, right behind the Bible. And I'd like to share it with you today because it tells the story and the journey of us all as Christians from this world to that world which is coming, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, our journey through this world. And I'd like to share it because it's all scripture. Also, it's in Jeannie's, one of their favorite books, and my own. They're becoming members today. And I think to get a framework of our journey from this world to that which is to come is super helpful, especially in these days when the world is so crazy and there's so many troubles. This helps to center us once again on the journey of the Christian, the journey of us all. So let's take a look today at Pilgrim's Progress, your journey from this world to that which is to come. And we start the journey looking at a pilgrim here. And this is the story of us all, that we are actually traveling through this world. You see that in his hand is a book. And he laments greatly as he reads in this book, a heavy pack being upon his head, his face turned away from his home, his earthly country, and he's seeking something which is to come. Now, why as Christian, why are we troubled as we read the scriptures and lament with a lamentable cry? Because we read in this book that the world we're living in, the city that we all belonged to, this world is in trouble, right? The Bible teaches us that the world we're living in right now is called in the book the city of destruction. Why is this world the city of destruction? Because the devil, it says, we are of God and the whole world is in the power of the evil one, 1 John chapter 5. We know that sin has come into the world through one man, Adam, right? Romans 5, and death through sin. And so death is spread to all of us because we've all sinned. So the world we're living in, God's got to save us from it because it is a world accursed. Sin, death, and the devil are at work in this world, and the world that we're living in presently is doomed. That's what we read in Scripture. That's what Christian did. That's why he was so broken over what he was reading in the book. What is this world destined for? What's that say? Fire. Let's mark that well today. If you open up to 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, the previous world under Noah was, by the word of God, deluged with water and perished. Amen? He says, but by the same word, that same word that did that, the heavens and the earth that now exist have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. That's what Peter says in his second letter, chapter 3. So this would make Christian affrighted. Why? Because he's living in that city. So Christian decides to undertake a journey from that city. First, because the city he's living in is doomed to destruction. Also because he hears in that book, which I also have in my hand, a vision, a picture of a city that you can attain to that has eternal joys, the kingdom of Christ. And also he undertook the journey for reason of that pack that lay upon his back. What was the pack on his back? The weight of his sins. You know that David says in the scriptures, he says, my iniquities have gone over my head. My sins weigh like a burden too heavy for me. So we've all had sins on our back. and it is a deep and a heavy burden. Who will take this pack from my back? Cries Christian, and so also we all cry the same. So Christian wants to get out of the city, find salvation. The book points him to it, but he doesn't know where to go. So God sends to him an evangelist, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And where does he point Christian? I don't know how to get this pack off my back and to escape. An evangelist says, go straight ahead and enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, Matthew chapter 7. But the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. That's Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, right? So Christian's like, I can't see the way to that narrow gate. And the angel says, look up a little yonder. And his eyes come up, and I think I see a light. And the angel says, run for that. Enter by the narrow gate. So we all have to do that, right? We've all had sins. We're all leaving this world. Jesus calls us out to follow him. I've called you out of the world. Follow me. And he says, run for the narrow gate. Does he make it there easily? Is that an easy path, Gerald? Along the way, the enemy sets up obstacles and roadblocks. Something called in the book, the Slough of Despond. Which means, basically for us modern people, a bog of despair. There are hardships on our way to the cross, right? As we're trying to go there, there's an enemy, a king of the old country, the city of destruction, that wants to keep us from salvation. And so there are hardships along the way. And many turn back at the first sign of trouble. Like Jesus says, there are some that hear the word, they immediately spring up and believe with joy. But at the first sign of trouble, they turn back because they're not into the hardships of the journey. How about you guys? Are you going to turn back or run forward? Christian decides to go forward. And who comes to help him? He cries for help. And help, someone called help in the book, lifts Christian out of the bog. Who is help? Our friends, evangelists, but also God himself. Psalm 46 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's God. He's going to help you. He's helping us on this journey. So he lifts Christian out of the bog. And do you think Christian went straight from there to the gate? Well, you know, that gate's kind of hard to get to. It's a very narrow and difficult way. And so Christian thinks, I can maybe go easier by the law of Moses. Wouldn't that be easier? I'll get there by my own righteousness, my own goodness, building my way up to God. Yeah, I'll go that way. It's easier than the cross. He tries to go by the Mount Sinai. Can you get saved by Mount Sinai, Jewel? By the law? It is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. That's a temptation for all of us, right? That we want to try to get to God by keeping his commandments, keeping the law perfectly. But what's James say in his chapter 2? He says, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in even one point of it has become guilty of the entire thing. And no human being, Galatians 3 says, shall be justified before God by the law. Impossible. Thunder, lightnings, and a raging fire. And Christian is again affrighted. He's terrified. I've lost the way. In comes evangelist again and says, no, Christian, God is merciful. Get back on the path. Keep running and run for the cross. That's where we all need to run. So Christian eventually comes to a hill, somewhat ascending, where his Lord once, 2,000 years previous, was crucified. The king died to ransom his people and redeem them from their sins. And Christian runs toward the cross. And when he gets up to the cross, what happens? He finds salvation. This is where we have salvation, right, Jenny? In Jesus Christ alone. Because here, Jesus died for Christian's sins. He died for his pilgrims. And what happened to the pack here, Jeannie?
He loses
his pack. All those sins, the heavy weights. The burden of our wrongs before God, our guilt, falls off, rolls down the hill, goes into the grave where Jesus rose from, and as it says in Micah 7, God will hurl and cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. For the love of the blood of the cross, Jesus has reconciled us to God. Christian, believing on it, as Paul says in Acts chapter 13, Paul says, through him, Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes in him, in Jesus, is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Isn't that great? Are you guys, do you believe in Jesus Christ today? Because this is your journey. Do you come to the cross alone? He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's by his cross that we're saved. By his blood we're set free. And so, Christian, then, is now, I'm free! I'm free from my sins. And he's come to salvation. Now, is his journey over? Is our journey over when we've come to the cross? We're saved. We're free. We're redeemed. We're new people. But our journey's not yet over. We're not yet in the kingdom to come. Christian, we'll look afar off and see that celestial city, the kingdom of God on the horizon, just like we all still do today. Hebrews 11 says the saints all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, seeking a homeland, a better country, a heavenly one. And that's why God's not ashamed to be called your God, for he's prepared for you a city. Do you believe in that? Less today, that there is a city. Do you believe in that, Susan? That there is a city awaiting us at our journey's end, the kingdom of God that stretches out into joys forevermore with eternal life? What's the way to that city? From the cross, it's straight. It's narrow, as straight as a ruler can make it. And so how do you tell the right way, Christian says? Are there not also many ways that butt down upon the path of life by which I might go astray? And he is told, by this you'll know the way. The way of Christ is the one that is straight, narrow, and hard. And so run for it. You got to go straight through this world. Keep your eyes and your gaze directly forward and before you. Do not swerve to the right hand or to the left. Keep your foot from evil, it says in the Old Testament. But that way, though it is straight and narrow, it is through a great, who sees that? A great wilderness. Remember when Israel came out and they got saved out of Egypt? They came through the Red Sea. They're saved. They're free from Pharaoh. But now they have to course through a very deep wilderness on their way to the promised land. So also, we're in that, this is our process right now. We're going through a deep and dense and dark wilderness with many dangers along the way that we have to forge ahead by faith and conquer. And we do by the Spirit of Christ within us. If you look at this, we are what through Christ? More than conquerors through him who loved us. So along life's journey, you have good hope because the Spirit of the living God has come to live inside of you now to not only seal you for the day of redemption, but to give you the strength to conquer all that comes in your path, to run forward for the prize, the city, the kingdom that is before us, the kingdom to come. So what do we face along the way? What's that one? Gianna. What's this one right here? The hill of, can you read that far? Difficulty. Are you guys facing difficulties in your life right now? No. Telling you, turn back, Kevin. Turn back. It's too hard, this path of the Christian. But the Christian, through the strength of the Spirit in him, climbs the hill and keeps going forward, as scary as it may seem. And since it's difficult, Bill, what does God give us? Friends. He gives us friends. That's why we're here in church today, right? How are you going to survive unless you're in church with other people that believe as you believe to encourage you? Friends, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, says the scripture. And a brother is born for adversity. We're all gathering together here while we're heading towards that city to encourage each other and stir each other up that we may attain to the city. Good thing. So God's so gracious to us in helping us out. What do we have to go through? Tests of courage. You feel like that's going on today? On the one hand, you have mandates from the government. You must do this, you must do that. Lockdowns and terrifying things on the right. The other side, there are dangers and troubles and scary things on the left. It's like two great lions. And Christian is so frightened by these lions as he's going, I can't go forward. I can't do it. What was the encouragement of the man at the palace? He says, go forward, for these lions are but on chains. If you just stick to the path and walk in the way of Christ, they will not harm you. And so Christian walks through. Do you have tests of courage that you have to go through in your life today? Does it feel like God's put you between a rock and a hard place? A test? Well, Christian, God says go forward because the path is good and it leads up to the city. So we got to go forward when we face these things. We also have spiritual warfare. Who does Christian have to fight, Brendan? Apollyon. That's the next one. So we are not contending, says Paul, against flesh and blood, against the human beings in this world, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Who are you fighting as you go forward as a Christian through life? It's not human beings. Yeah, there are some bad guys out there. You're fighting spirits. But how can you win, Vivian? Because what do you have? Spiritual armor, right? Good one. Good job. You've got a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a belt of truth, the gospel of peace for your feet, a shield of faith, and a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer. But who stands against you? As Jeannie said, Apollyon, the destroyer, the prince of that town, city of destruction from which you came, he stands and he says, I have come forth, Christian, this day to withstand thee and not let you pass. You must come back with me. What's Christian say? He's very fearful of this dread angel. But then he considers, wait a second, the armor I have, I ain't got no armor for my back. If I retreat, he'll strike me down where I stand. I better go forward. And he says to Apollyon, he says, you do well to look to yourself, Apollyon, for I stand in the king's highway, and I'm coming forward. Watch after yourself. And they have a big battle. They fight, and it's so fierce that Christian is struck to the ground. But then he remembers the words of Scripture, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And he runs forward and strikes him with the sword, which is the word of God, and Apollyon flies away. Then we have to all go through this city. What is this city called? The city of Vanity Fair, which is a city set up, says this book, by Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. That is the devil. He sets up a fair that we all Christians on our way to heaven and the world to come have to pass through. What is this? All the entrapments of the world, all the things that can snare us up, the delights of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all the pleasures of this world, they're so dancing around us, enticing us, come away, leave the path, buy this world. What should you do in that case, Maggie?
Keep going.
Well, exactly. The Christians, the two pilgrims traveling together, they say, we buy the truth, and they won't buy a thing in this fair. Check this out. There's every type of enticement that the devil tries to stop us with. We even have a magazine called Vanity Fair. Sorry for the scantily clad person here. But look, Vanity Fair, we even have magazines about this stuff. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. But we are to avoid such, because her house sinks down to death and her path to the shades, to the chambers of death. So we deny all these things for love of the King. And we go forward, as the next slide says, buy the truth and sell it not. So we pass through the city. Don't buy anything in this fair. Don't buy this world. Jesus himself had to pass through this fair, did he not? Matthew chapter 4, the devil took him up, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Please, what will ye buy? What will you buy, Jesus? I'll give you the whole fair. I'll make you lord of the fair if you'll simply buy something in my fair. Worship me. And Jesus, it says, spent not a farthing in that whole city, but passed straight through buying nothing. And so also should we as Christians. Don't live for this world, live for that world which is to come. As he's drawing on farther into the journey, he departs and he goes into Doubting Castle. And he's caught by a giant named Despair. Do you guys ever face depression? Despair? Hopelessness? Well, Paul did. He said, why we felt we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself, he tells us in Corinthians. We can all face tough times where we lose hope and we lose sight of the journey. How does Christian escape from this giant despair's doubting castle? He remembers the promises of God. It's a key, and he unlocks all the doubts in doubting castle, and he escapes giant despair and comes back to the path. God is so gracious. And as he draws near to the final challenge, we also have to pass through the enchanted forest. What's that one? Remember that one? It is a forest where the very air makes you to fall asleep. And it's very drowsy. And a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And so poverty shall come upon you like a vagabond and want like an armed man, says the book of Proverbs. In other words, we're all going to fall, tempted to fall asleep in our faith, right? Oh, I won't go to church. I don't need to follow the word. I'm going to go to sleep. And Jesus says, be alert. Stay awake. Persevere. Keep alert because I'm coming like a thief in the night. And so Christian and his friend at this point engage in a godly conversation and by means of it get through the forest. Here's our great and final obstacle. What's that one called, Susan? The great river of death. And finally, after everything Christian has been through, he's like, this one I cannot go through. It is too scary. And he looks at it and he thinks, I will surely drown and my sins will sink me deeper than Sheol. And he asks, is there not some other way to the celestial city? Well, there was a boat that Enoch and Elijah got to go on. They didn't have to die. But everybody else, you included and me, we have to die to get to the city. We have to swim the river. And Christian, and he jumps in, eventually being very afraid. And what happens to him? He begins to sink. He's like, oh no, my sins. I remember the wrongs I've done to the king. Surely I will perish in this river. Do you guys feel like that when you think about death? But then the Lord, being so gracious as king, reaches down, as David says in Psalm 18. He says, the cords of death confronted me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. He began to sink. But then God reached down from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He set me in a broad place because he delighted in me. That's what God's going to do for you. Don't be afraid of death. For the river will only be as deep or as shallow as your faith is in the Lord. If you believe in the king of that place and you remember his word, look, there's good ground here through death. I can walk across this river. You'll make it through. And Christian does. He gets to the other side. And then he begins with his friend to ascend up the mountain to the city of God. And this time it's so much easier because he no longer has his mortal flesh to worry about. He goes up and eventually arrives at the celestial city. And let me read that to you out of Pilgrim's Progress, the beautiful picture of what is at our journey's end. Now I saw in my dream that these two men went in at the gate, and lo, as they entered, they were transfigured, and they had raiment put on them that shone like gold. There was also that met them those with harps and crowns. And then I heard in my dream that all the bells in the city rang again for joy, and that it was said unto them, enter ye into the joy of the Lord. That is what is at our journey's end. So what I'm telling you today is don't turn back. Don't be dissuaded from the path. Run for the city, because there is a city ahead of us. God has prepared for us a city. Now, just this week, I watched this movie that I got, an animated movie of this story. And at the end of it, I said, God, I was sitting on my couch at home. I'm like, God, I'm Christian Pilgrim. And here is the book I heard of in the movie. And I said, God, will you please open to me something in this book to encourage me as a Christian pilgrim? And you know what? I just opened the book randomly. Boom. My eyes came right down and landed on this verse. Listen to this. Can you believe it? Psalm 87. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, for the Most High himself will establish her. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. What a super answer to prayer. I mean, the whole book was fulfilled in that one verse. I'm telling you, friends, today, if you are discouraged, if you're tired, if the way is hard, if it seems scary, God's word to you today through me is this: go forward. For I have prepared for you a city, and in it there will be joys everlasting. At the end, you will see me, and we will enjoy each other forever. So press on, Christians, pilgrims, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Pilgrim's Progress, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. And if you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul, and God bless you.